Hello, friend. It's time for us again to study a word from God's Word, the Bible. This month, let's look at the word hell, which is the name of an unthinkable place. I do hope that when you hear this word, you'll have butterflies fluttering in your stomach, and that your first impression about hell is a very negative one. Hell, indeed, is a very negative term. Nowadays in English, it is used as a cursing word. People will be deeply offended if someone curses them by saying that they will go there. It is a word that is not taken lightly, because hell is the place that is much worse than the worst place you have ever known or you can ever imagine. In the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 16, Jesus told us a parable describing what hell is like. Let's read that passage. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." What impressed you most in this passage about hell? The immense thirst in the unquenchable fire, of course, you may say. I agree with you on this. Indeed, being thirsty is much harder to bear than being hungry. The Bible clearly says in the book of Mark that the fire of hell will never cease, and each one staying there will never lose his ability to feel the burning pain. And what makes the rich man's suffering even worse may be that he can clearly see heaven and the joy and peace and love enjoyed by Lazarus up there. He knows that even a tiny drop of water on his tongue would bring him great relief and comfort, but he will never get it. Now a question may rise up in your mind. Was hell such an awful place prepared for man, for the rich? The Bible clearly says no. Let's read a passage from chapter 25 of the book of Matthew. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" What did Jesus say? Ever since the creation of the world, God prepared his own people a glorious kingdom. And God prepared hell, not for man, but for the devil, Satan, and his angels, the angels who followed Satan. When Jesus comes back to judge the world, He will separate the people one from another. God's sons and daughters will go to his kingdom of heaven, and the cursed people will go to hell with the devil. The book of Revelation describes in details what will happen when Jesus comes back. He will ride on a white horse and put an end to all evil of this world. In chapter 19, we read, "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the prophet had been thrown. They'll be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now you certainly know that hell was made for the devil and his angels, but some humans will end up there also. You may ask, how come? Who will be in hell and who will be in the kingdom of heaven? This is a very good and very important question to ponder about. According to God's word, the human residents of hell are those who reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, Jesus told us another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" What's your first impression about the king? He was not fair in kicking out the man who was not wearing wedding clothes, you may say. After all, he just came from a street corner upon the king's invitation. But think about all the others who came with him. They were not rejected because they were all wearing wedding clothes. Where did they get their wedding clothes? A little reasoning tells us that the king must have offered the wedding clothes to everyone he invited. It was up to the guests to either accept it or reject it. This foolish man rejected the king's generous offer and thus had to face the consequences of his own choice. He was tied up and thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this parable, the outside accurately symbolizes the dreadful place hell. All its residents can and will do unceasingly is to suffer pain and thirst, and to gnash their teeth, regretting, hating, and being hated. The king's house symbolizes the kingdom of heaven, and the wedding clothes symbolizes Jesus Christ, who came to this world of sin and died on the cross to carry away all my sins and yours, and rose from the dead on the third day to bring us, hell-bound humans, new hope of going to the glorious kingdom of heaven. Who will be in the kingdom of heaven? God the King, of course, and his servants, and those guests who are qualified in the following manner. They did not deserve to come, but were invited by the King's grace. They accepted the King's invitation and came, and they willingly wore the wedding clothes the King prepared for them. Remember? They all were straight from the street corners. They could not afford the expensive wedding clothes, and even if they could, they did not have the time to get them. In fact, the Bible says, all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only way to heaven is prepared by God himself in his Son Jesus. Who will be in hell? Those who willfully rejected the king's invitation, and those who came at the king's invitation but refused to wear the wedding clothes the king provided for them. And also the rich man who thought, there is neither hell nor heaven, and whose heart was fully occupied with the luxuries in this life. How blessed are we who accepted God's salvation through Christ Jesus, and how cursed are the residents of hell who reject him. Oh, our time is almost up for this month's journey in learning English through the Bible. But before leaving, I have to remove those butterflies that were fluttering in your stomach. Please don't ever forget, God is love. He loves each and every one of us, even though we are all trapped and bound for hell. In the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, God says three times through his servant Ezekiel, "As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live." Turn from hell to me is still God's call today. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, so that whoever believes in Christ Jesus, God's Son, shall be freed from the hell-bound track and become a child of God, heading toward the glorious heaven. I definitely hope to meet you up there in heaven when Jesus comes back and takes us home. And before that, I hope to meet you again next time in this program. Until then, may God bless you and may God be with you.